Matthew chapter 28. As they getting ready. Matthew chapter 28. Amen. This is our scripture reading, church reading for today. Okay, starting with verse 1. And as they getting ready. So y'all ready to read? Get the word. God says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so let's read together. It says, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Verse 3, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. Verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, do not fear, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. And we'll stop there. Amen. That's our scripture reading for today, church reading. We have Kate and Jared. Jared is Haley's twin brother. You see the resemblance? Yeah, okay. We're glad to have them tonight. They're going to sing for us the goodness of God.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
has.
In all my life you have been so, so kind. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness.
Job, guys. It's coming. It's coming. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The goodness of God. People, don't ever forget that God is a good God. Don't ever forget that He's good to His people. And even when we suffer well. We do it right. We do it right. Because we don't know. You know, God will allow things to happen sometimes for us. Thank you, Jared. Y'all did a good job. Kate. You never know what God's trying to work in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Let's make our declaration before Him this morning. If you take your Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. We'll take part in communion later at the end of the service, okay? We do want to welcome everyone here, almost said this morning, but this evening. I've heard people say coming in, good morning, you know. Oh, whatever. Good morning, good evening, good night. Just don't sleep. I mean, that's all. But we do want to welcome everyone here tonight. We want to welcome fellow believers. We want to welcome friends, family, as we, you know, celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior and all that He has done for us. Amen. To hear the greatest news ever taught by a man, the man called Jesus Christ, giving us the good news and helping us and saving our souls and doing what He did for us, because He did not have to die for us. You know, we kind of, you know, sometimes we get in the mood of, well, you know, I'm privileged. And yet we are kind of, you know, but He didn't have to die for us. He didn't have to. He did it because the Father asked Him to. And the Father asked Him and He said, I'll do it, because He, Jesus, didn't want separation between man and God. That He wanted reconciliation, that we could be saved. We could accept Christ as our Lord and Savior and Him redeem us from our sins and take off those shackles off of our hands and our feet and help us to be what God wants us to be. The events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion involved a series of escalating events, culminating in His betrayal, arrest, trial, ultimately His death on the cross. Key events include Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, the Last Supper, His arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, His trial before the Sanhedrin, and then Pontius Pilate. And his scourging went on through His crucifixion and His death. Jesus did what He did because He loves you. He loves us. He may not love where we are as far as who we are sometimes, because He's trying to take things out, put things in. But Jesus loves you and I. And He was moved by love to stay upon that cross of Calvary. Because it says that he could have called 10,000 of angels if he wanted to. But he didn't. His love outweighed his pain for us that he went through. His love outweighed the pain that he went through. Because of his love for us. You know, we know the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life because of who he is and what he has done. I was listening to something and I heard this man telling this story, and I said, "Oh, it struck me in my heart and it struck me in my spirit." You know, when you know, sometimes driving down the road and you're listening to Christian radio stories, testimonies, you know, it does something on the inside of you, knowing what God could do. Way he was telling this story, he said there was an avid fisherman. That love to fish. I mean, you know, we have any fishermen here? Amen. You know what? Yeah, amen. Do you catch sometimes? Hey, look. Now, we didn't catch fish, but I tell you what. On my vacation these 2 weeks, we went to Rockefeller. This is the only I've been there many times, but the second time this has happened to me. Once with my mom and once with my wife this last time. We got there, we got up when we wanted to get up, you know, or whatever. We didn't get there till 8:30 or so. I mean, you know, that's kind of late. Usually you want to get up right when it's got there, you know, and we started putting out our lines. And look, it took me I don't know how long just to put up 10 lines because there were so many crabs. For an hour and a half, we never sat down. We brought our lawn chairs, and we did not use them. We caught an ice chest full. We said, we went a little over. And I said, "Oh, my Lord." And like Jelaine said, we need to be like Bonnie and Clyde here and get out of this place. It's like, man, Jelaine called the family. We're going to have a crab ball tonight. And I tell you, the faithfulness of God, people. And so here we see this avid fisherman went out to fish because he loved to fish. He had his faithful dog with him. He got in the boat. They went out a little further from the shore. And all of a sudden, as he throws his reel there to cast, the dog that was with him started barking. And as fishermen, you want it to be kind of quiet, huh? Because you want to catch the fish. This dog kept barking and barking and barking and barking. And the dog kept looking at the shore. He was seeing something. And every time the dog barked, the fisherman's anger got worse. He was mad. You know, it starts out, well, you know, be quiet, be quiet. Then all of a sudden, he was at the point of being severely angry. He got so mad that he kept telling that dog, "Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. I want to catch some fish." The dog kept barking and barking, and he wasn't catching anything. His anger overwhelmed him. He had a hatchet. He took the paw of that dog, the front paw, and he took it and he cut it off and threw it in the water. The dog kept barking and barking and barking. He kept getting madder, if you want to say it that way, and madder. He took the other paw and he cut it off And threw that in the water. The dog kept barking and barking and barking. He took the back leg of the paw and cut it off. So now the dog has three of them cut off. The dog kept barking and barking. He took the last one and he cut it off and threw it in the water. The dog kept barking and barking and would not stop. He got so angry that he took the dog and threw it in the water. And you know, a dog can't swim without his paws. And probably you know what happened. The dog drowned. How awful is that story, huh? I could feel your pain, like, oh, especially ladies. You know, you just kind of, ooh. It just does something on the inside of you. How long have you been a Christian? You don't have to say. I've been a Christian almost 45 years. 45 years in February. I've been hearing about the crucifixion of Christ since before I got saved. Because we kind of went to church, kind of, you know. You know, the kind of Christians. But after I got saved, we were in church. And for sure, every Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday, we would hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We just passed Friday, which we know Jesus died on a Friday, and he rose again from the grave on Sunday. When we're going to hear about all the things that Jesus went through, are we numb to it now, that it doesn't affect us anymore? Have we gotten to the place where it says that he was scourged? And, you know, I kind of made something. I couldn't buy it when it was too late. The scourging and the flogging that Jesus went through was severe, people. I know under Jewish law, he could not be flogged more than 39 times. That means that whip coming forth upon his back. And they would take men, because this was a common thing, people, for Jews and Romans. They did this to criminals. Jesus wasn't a criminal, though. They looked at him as a traitor and a criminal, but he wasn't. And they took Jesus, and he had to kind of hug, kind of like a pole type thing, to make his back open. And they took that flogging device, and they hit him. Under Jewish law, it says that he could not have more than 39. But it was Roman law that condemned him. So he might have had more than 39. We don't know. Or he could have had a little less. We don't know. But we know he was beaten because those, if you want to say 39 slashes that went towards him, it wasn't just 39, it was 39 times the 9, because they had 9, it's called catatails, that came out. There was 9 of them. If he did 39, he had how many slashes upon his back? 351. Does that affect you more than that dog that got killed by that man? I mean, hey, look, when I heard the story, it shocked me. It's like, come on. What humane person would do such a thing to an animal? It's not like a roach and you stamp on it and kill it. It's not like flies hitting them with a fly swatter. You could care less. You know? But this is a dog. This is something that's close to human beings, you know? Just close as far as we take them in. And to have something brutally done. But Jesus was flogged 30, at least that it says, possibly 39 or even more than that. That whip came to his back. and they beat him. And at the end of those nine cattails, there were little, it could be sharp objects of some kind, like metal, glass, pottery, something that would claw into the back of Jesus and yank out flesh from his body. See, that's the hatred that the devil had for Jesus. But he didn't realize that every time he was beaten with that, it was one lash closer, closer to bringing liberty and freedom to God's people. What kept Jesus on that pole was the love that he had for us and has for us. That we shall never forget what he did for us, my Lord. We know this. They took a crown of thorns, and we have one kind of here, and I know that's not, but that's all you can buy, kind of basically, you know. These crown, they say the thorns upon that crown of thorns that Jesus got on his head was between 1.6 inches and 2.7 inches. It was a symbol of mockery used by the Roman soldiers. The crown was used to cause him pain, to mock him in his claim of authority. The crown wasn't just slightly or lightly pushed upon his head, but it was pounded in his head. They say, doctors say, just looking about that, they say probably Jesus had between 20 and 30 wounds upon his head because of the thorns that went and were thrust into his head. Does that bring you pain on the inside of your heart and life? I know God gives us peace and joy and love, but to see what Jesus did for us, he was a man, 100% man, and he was 100% God. But have we become numb to what Jesus did for us? Have we? That is just another Friday we off of work, and hey, thank God, you know. Or do we remember, Lord, how awful sin is and the price that had to be paid for that sin, for humanity to have life and to live life? My Lord, what a day that was. We see here the cross that he had to bear. The cross, they say, the whole part of it, not just the cross beam here, but the whole part of the cross weighed probably around 300 pounds. Most of us can't lift 300 pounds. Most of us don't want to lift 300 pounds. But he, they gave him this cross and they said, go up to the hill called Golgotha. His body was being drained of blood because of what they had done to his back and his head. Drained of blood, yet he had to carry that cross. They say most probably he didn't carry the whole cross, both just that cross beam probably is what he carried, possibly, which weighed about 70 pounds. Have we become numb to what Jesus did for us in carrying the cross for us? Can you imagine the weight upon him? As that beam was upon him with blood coming down his body. Yet he's thinking resurrection is coming. He's thinking my people will be set free. He's thinking relief will come to them. They will not have to live in bondage anymore. That they can be set free of all the things of this world because of what I will do for them. My God. Don't become numb to what he did for us. He was too weak to carry it. And we know he had help. Simeon helped him. Don't you wish you could have been maybe that guy a little bit? To say, I carried the cross of Calvary for my Lord. Jesus needed some help at that time. How many times do we need help and God refuses to help us? Come on, let's raise a hand. Come on, any hands? How many times have you called upon Jesus and he did not help you? Did not help you. I'm not saying he didn't help you exactly when you wanted it. But sometimes God wants to do certain things in our hearts and in our lives. He carried it up to a certain point, going up to a place called the Hill of Golgotha. It was called the place of the skull. You know why? Think about it a little bit. When they cut off heads of people, you see, they did that back then. They didn't mess around with people. Whatever. They just cut their heads off, and they had a place called Golgotha. They'd go and throw the skulls and let it rot. That's why it was a place of the skulls. He had to walk in the midst of that, of rocks, to the place of his death. But he did it because he loved us. Also it says, Scripture tells us that he was nailed to the cross. We just know that. We know it. He was taken. Every nail was about, 5 to 7 inches in length. Now, let's see. This might be a little longer, but that's okay. Now, you know it wasn't a nail like this. You know that, huh? It was a different type of nail with a little hook-type thing on the end so it would not come off of him. Have you ever tried, you were nailing something and you missed the head of the nail and you hit your finger? You wanted to cry almost as you held it tightly. Can you imagine nails going through your wrists? Because it couldn't have gone through. And I know they show this because it would have ripped hanging on. There's no way possible. It had to go here. Can you imagine? He didn't have no painkillers. Nothing to know the pain. But they hammered this into his wrist, both of them, and into his feet. Can you imagine the pain and the suffering? Have we become numb to that? The suffering that he went through. You might say, is this an Easter message, resurrection? In order to have a resurrection, there has to be a death. In order for us to have a victory, we have to die to self. Oh, come on now. There's too much not dying. Sometimes. And so, we have problems. Jesus had to die. There was no other way possible to cover the sins of us and to eliminate it. The blood of bulls and goats could not eliminate the sin. It could only cover it up. But Jesus' blood could take it away. Can you imagine now? God looks at us as we have never sinned before. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know me. And you have not been at my house. When we ask God for forgiveness, he remembers it no more. Because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And because we put our faith in what he has done, he takes it away and he gives us liberty and freedom, the power of Almighty God. that he can do what he wants to do in our hearts and lives. He can take out those mess ups. And he can give us victory. Sometimes we have to die to self in order to have the victory on the other side of the cross of Calvary. I want you to turn to John chapter 20, please. Don't forget, don't become numb to what Jesus did. Don't become numb. Don't forget. Oh, and look, and that's just, and I hate to say high points of his death. That's just a little bit of what he went through. We're going to read where it talks about how they slapped him. They pulled his beard. And this is fighting words now, I'm going to tell you. They spat in his face. You want to be spit on? That's some fighting words there. Somebody spits on you, you're probably coming out swinging. I mean, there's, look, I'm not a Christian right now. I mean, what I'm saying is, can you imagine? They beat our Savior to he was unrecognizable in the flesh. That someone actually would go and pull his hair and his beard, slap him. Have you ever been slapped before? That doesn't feel good, huh? I know Jesus says turn the other cheek. Only got two cheeks, and you better make sure it counts. Because I'm coming back. Yes.
Part of the Bible,
but I can't even imagine Mary watching her son. Yes. You know, you see the horribleness of what she went through. And I know people have dignified, you know, as far as praising her, that's not what she was there for. But the horror she did go through. Because, you know, we all, you know, most of us are parents now. You know, there's some singles, but, you know, and you see your children go through something that's not good. It hurts your heart, huh? And you wish you could change the situation, but a lot of times you can't for whatever reason. Can you imagine what she went through? But I tell you what. He took care of her, because even at the cross, he said, this is your son and this is your mother. He gave and helped her, my Lord. But still, that hurt. Yes, you're right. That's a hurt. You see, God, even when we hurt, God comes in and puts the salve of his healing power upon our hearts and upon our lives to help us to get through to the other side. We don't serve a weak God. We serve a very powerful God that can do all things except sin, because it's not in him. But he can move mountains on our behalf. He can change the path of our lives if we lay down our lives before him. That's what God can do. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm going down a road and I don't know where I'm at. I don't even know how I got here. But I tell you what, this is what you do. Get on your knees before God, or get in your lazy bar, whatever you got to do, and get with God. Raise your hands and say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. And let the power of the Spirit of Almighty God come into your heart and give you a new vision, a new dream to live your life according to what he has planned for you. God is not one that when we make a mistake, he throws us away. He's not one when we make a mistake again, he throws us away. He's not one if we make a mistake again, he throws us away. God will continue to do what he can. He'll take us back. just as he looked at Peter when Peter denied him three times. Can you imagine how he felt when that rooster crowed? The agony. What I done. And he told his disciples, go tell Peter, I love him. People, let's just yield ourselves before God. Let him do what he needs to do. Let him work in our hearts. Let him work in our lives. Rededicate your life to him. And say, Lord, from this day forward, I will worship you. I will praise you. I will live for you. And I will give what you want me to give. And I will not hold back anything from you. Just think of this. If Jesus would have held back a little bit, none of us would be in church today. And probably most of us would be 6 feet under. In a place called H-E-L-L. And nobody wants to go there. You know, I heard Franklin Graham the other day. I was telling Jelaine on Fox News. I just happened to be watching. And he, you know, we always talk about, you know, people aren't going to church anymore and all this. He said since 2021 till today, church attendance has gone up in America. I said, wow. He said, you know what group has gone up? The young group. Yo, and he was saying, he said, there's revival in America. It's happening. God, the Holy Spirit, is going around this America, and he's given us a new purpose. He's pouring out his Spirit. Yes, we have a lot of stuff that may not be right, but yes, we have a lot of stuff that is right. Yes, my God, the Holy Spirit is being poured out measurably upon the earth. That he's drawing people back to church and saying, this is where you need to be. This is your answer. It's not in all kind of other stuff. It's not in alcohol. It's not in drugs. It's not in all these evil things. But your hope and your faith needs to be in Christ, because he is the answer. He is the answer we look to. He is the answer for us today. So they're going back to church. Praise God. I just said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My Lord, thank you. Here we see in John chapter 20. Look at verse 1. It says this, the first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and sees a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. That tells you right there, the whole ball of wax is right here. They didn't believe he'd rise from the grave. They put him somewhere else. See, when God gives you a word, and when he tells you something, you can bank on it. Amen. We don't have to flutter around and say, well, maybe not, maybe so. When God speaks and he shows you something, you can bank on it. Amen. He's 100% God. And he's 100% of a man of his word. They didn't believe. Well, we'd probably do the same thing, so. We don't blame them. Peter therefore went forth, that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then came Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre and saw the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And as they yet knew not the scripture, he must rise again from the dead, the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now look at this. This is what I want to get to. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and saw two angels in white sitting, the one at his head and the other at his feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, they do not weep. Why do you weep? I'm sorry. And they said unto her, Woman, why do you weep? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why do you weep? Whom do you seek? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you have not borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Here we see. In the Old Testament, it says that they made the Ark of the Covenant and the three things that were in the Ark of the Covenant, and they overlaid it with gold. And they had two cherubims with wings that spanned it from the middle of that ark to the wall and to the back of the wall. Huge. And they would look at the Ark of the Covenant. And the priest would come in once a year to cover the sins of the people and would sprinkle blood on it. The blood of bulls and goats on it. For the people, that God could still bless them and overlook their sin. Interesting. Jesus rose from the grave, and the two angels came, one at his head, well, maybe his head here, and feet here. There was one angel that sat at his head, and there was another angel that sat at his feet. The linen that was over the napkin over his face was laid out and folded. The sheet basically that covered him was folded and put to the side. And here we see Mary coming in, and she looks in and she sees these two angels, and they're sitting. They're not standing like those other two over the Ark of the Covenant. You might say, well, why, Pastor? Jesus' work was finished. The angels sat. Jesus wasn't there anymore. He rose from the grave. He presented the blood before the Father. And there's a whole lot of other stuff he did. But that's the main thing. I say main, it's all important. And brought it before the Father. He accepts it. Now Jesus, the angels are sitting at his head and at his feet, saying, what he did is done. They stamped it. Paid in full. Oh. People, we don't realize how saved we are by the mercy of Almighty God and what he has done. Paid in full. That every time we go before him, that he's there to forgive us. He's there to help us. He's there to give us wisdom. He's there to give us mercy. He's there to give us love. He's there to give us direction. He's there. But he had to do the worst part first to get to the resurrection. Those angels sat there because the work had been finished. He paid the price at Calvary's cross. Look, we started at the cross when we got saved. We put our faith in what Jesus did. We stay at the cross throughout our life upon the earth. And we end with our faith in the cross of Calvary. This is what has happened to some. They start out with their faith in Christ. Then they put their faith in all that they can do and all that they will do. It doesn't mean a hill of beans to anybody. Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't want us to do good things. That means we have to place our faith in Christ, and He will allow us to do it. But our faith is never in the things that we do. It's in who we know. Always, always, always in Him. We're going to be taking part in communion if you'd like to come up and sing this last song.